This Morning, America's First News starts right after this. Support for This Morning, America's First News comes from Health IQ. Health IQ uses science and data to secure lower rates on life insurance for health-conscious people, including runners, cyclists, strength trainers, vegans, and more. 56% of Health IQ customers save between 4 and 33% on their life insurance. To see if you qualify, get your free quote today at healthiq.com/Gordon.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Finalizing funding. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, Friday, February 9th. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Congress is working to reopen the government. The Senate passed a budget and short-term funding early this morning, but not before a partial shutdown began after midnight.
The financial markets have entered correction territory after another 1,000-point loss for the Dow.
Even though some competitions have already begun, the opening ceremonies are today for the Winter Olympics in South Korea.
And one of the potential consequences of young adults spending so much time on social media, they may be broke and unhappy.
57% of millennials say they've spent money they hadn't planned to because of something they saw on social media. That's compared to just 28% of Gen Xers and 7% of boomers. This backs up other studies showing that social media really drives people to spend, and in particular, it drives younger people to spend money that they really hadn't planned to.
Katie Hill at moneyish.com on social media, draining your mood and your bank account. Her story in about 20 minutes. The House and Senate approved a two-year budget deal and a stopgap spending bill early this morning, even though the action was technically too late to avoid a partial government shutdown, which began at midnight. The green light for the spending package was a show of eagerness for stability after months of short-term patches. But resistance from Kentucky Senator Rand Paul about the budget adding to the deficits delayed its passage until after the government's current funding expired at midnight.
Don't you remember when Republicans howled to high heaven that President Obama was spending us into the gutter, spending us into oblivion? And now Republicans are doing the same thing.
The inaction by Congress meant that technically the government was set to run out of funds. However, no offices or services were expected to be significantly shut down. Since the bill ultimately passed the House this morning, it's expected to be signed by President Trump. More about the budget the Senate has passed from Louisiana Senator John Kennedy. Senator, how do you see this two-year spending plan?
Well, I've got mixed feelings. I mean, I feel like I've got to choose between love and honor here. The good news is that it would keep government from being shut down. It would provide a much-needed extra $80 billion a year to our military. It would provide about $90 billion to our fellow states that have been ravaged by hurricanes and by wildfires. It would end the CR process, budgeting by continuing resolution, which provides no predictability. But the bad news is, this is very troublesome to me, it's going to add to the deficit. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to pop our deficit spending up to about 5% of gross domestic product. That's unacceptable. We right now are borrowing $1 million a minute to run this place. While we've been talking, we just borrowed probably $2 million.
Right, right.
It's $1.4 billion a day, and this bill's going to add to that. And this will be the toughest vote I've had to take in terms of allocation of scarce resources. And I'm still reading the bill, but it is everything that the Freedom Caucus and the House says about the budget deficit. They're absolutely correct, and it breaks my heart to have to make this choice.
How about on the Dreamers front? Where do you want that to go?
I want to fix the problem. I don't want us to be talking about a Dreamers type amnesty issue 5 years now or 10 years from now. Now, our Democratic friends just want to give amnesty to the DACA immigrants, and that's it. I'm not going to vote for that. If they're not willing to solve the problem, to allow us to talk about border security and the wall, to talk about a commonsensical colorblind immigration system like Canada or Australia have, if they won't let us talk about the diversity visa lottery, which makes no sense, if they want us to talk about chain migration, which makes no sense, then I'll listen, but I'm not going to just go vote to give amnesty if it doesn't solve the problem. And I've got to be convinced to solve the problem. I've seen a lot of different plans. They're all going to be put on the floor next week, and we'll see what gets 60 votes. But most of the plans I've seen so far are held together by spit.
You believe that the Dreamers should have a path to citizenship or legal status or none of the above?
Not solely by, as an issue, not solely by itself. If the only issue put in front of me is, will you vote yes or no to give the Dreamers amnesty, I will tell you categorically, unequivocally, I will vote no.
Yeah.
Because we're going to be, all we will do will encourage more people to come to America illegally. Now, we're a nation of immigrants, but we're a nation of laws. And every country that I know of, except the United States of America, controls who comes in to their country. Mm-hmm. We don't, and we need to start doing it.
Tell me about this latest bill you're trying to bring attention to.
I'll give you its title. The title is very simple. It's the Stop Paying Dead People Act. As best I can tell, and my colleagues, Senator Carper and Senator Warner and others who are helping with the bill, between $10 and $20 billion in federal checks are being sent to dead people each year.
Wow.
And they're being cashed. So obviously there's fraud.
Right.
Now, in some states, you can vote if you're dead, but cashing a check goes a little too far, especially when it comes from taxpayer money. The Social Security Administration keeps a master death file. It's a list of everybody who dies in America mm-hmm. in a particular year. But Social Security will not share it with all other agencies. Don't ask me why. They've explained it to me, and rather than argue, I just said, we're going to go pass a bill. Okay. So this bill will require Social Security to share the death file with the other agencies, and we are directing all the agencies and federal government, you can't make this stuff up, to stop paying dead people.
That's an extraordinary amount of money.
It's a problem. Our auditors found that over a five-year period from 2006 to 2010, the federal government paid $601 million in pension checks to dead federal retirees. The federal government paid $1 billion in farm payments under the farm bill over a five-year period to dead farmers.
Those are some staggering numbers. Louisiana Senator John Kennedy, again, that latest measure, Stop Improper Payments to Deceased People Act. It's 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Expert insight, world-class reporting. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Hey, glad you're with us. Welcome into Friday. The White House is admitting it didn't do such a bang-up job handling the domestic abuse allegations that led to the resignation of Staff Secretary Rob Porter. Mr. Porter abruptly resigned this week and officially left the job yesterday. Meanwhile, White House Chief of Staff John Kelly is facing mounting questions about how he dealt with the accusations when accusations from both of Mr. Porter's ex-wives were first reported on Tuesday. Mr. Kelly offered a full defense of Mr. Porter. Here's White House Deputy Press Secretary Raj Shah.
White House was prepared to defend Rob Porter based on initial accusations that we heard about and his denial. And that was based on our experiences with Rob Porter.
Mr. Kelly issued a second statement Wednesday night saying he was shocked as more details of the allegations emerged. Mr. Shah said that Mr. Kelly didn't know the full extent of the allegations until Wednesday when photos surfaced of Mr. Porter's first wife with a black eye that she said she sustained during a vacation with Mr. Porter. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, an hour and a half into yet another government shutdown, the Senate approved a massive two-year budget agreement early this morning that would reopen the government and pave the way for more than $400 billion in increased defense and domestic spending, while the House has followed suit. In the Senate, one Republican lawmaker, Rand Paul of Kentucky, delayed the final vote until after midnight, upset over the growing deficit.
Maybe it has something to do with the irresponsibility of Congress spending money that we don't have.
The deal paves the way for Congress to increase defense spending by $165 billion and hike domestic spending by $131 billion over the next 2 years. The stock market may have just fired off a warning shot to the Trump administration and Congress about plans to blow up the size of the federal deficit. The Dow Industrial skidded another 1,032 points yesterday as the markets officially hit the 10% correction mark. Market strategist Art Hogan of B. Riley BFR says investors are also concerned about bond yields, interest rates, and inflation.
The cost of capital for both the government and certainly for corporations goes up, so that costs more to run your business or run your government. It certainly costs us more as consumers, so rising yields tend to slow down economic activity.
Asian markets skidded overnight, but European markets are just modestly lower. After two failed bids, billions of dollars in preparation, and a national debate about whether it's worth it, the Winter Olympics are underway in Pyeongchang. Athletes have been overshadowed by a frenzied, increasingly momentous stream of political developments as the rival Koreas make overtures toward cooperation. After video of a passenger being dragged from a plane turned into a viral sensation last spring, airlines have cut bumping of customers to the lowest rate ever. The Transportation Department says airlines bumped one passenger in every 29,000 in 2017, as about half the rate of the year before.
Wow.
So something good came out of something very bad.
Right. Imagine what a little social media pressure has done here. Yep. Very good. Thanks, Jen. 22 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Millennials spend more time on social media than the rest of us, and that could be hurting both their finances and mental health. Here's how from Katie Hill, editor at Moneyish.com. Katie, set this up.
So as you probably know, millennials spend more time on social media than do older generations. That's a pretty clear stat that everyone knows. What was interesting to me, new data coming out that backs up a bunch of other studies that we've seen showing that millennials, 57% of millennials say they've spent money they hadn't planned to because of something they saw on social media. That's compared to just 28% of Gen Xers and 7% of boomers. This backs up other studies showing that social media really drives people to spend, and in particular, it drives younger people to spend money that they really hadn't planned to. And as we've talked about on the show before, this is a group that really, you know, a lot of them could be saving a lot more money, not so well prepared for retirement often. And so that's kind of a disturbing statistic.
Wow. Is that what they call FOMO, fear of missing out? Is that what's influencing them?
I mean, some of it, that's exactly right. 61% of millennials say that they feel inadequate about their own life and what they have because of what they see on social media, much lower for the older generations. 88% say they compare themselves to others on social media. Again, it's lower for the other generation. So some of it is fear of missing out. And some of it is that, you know, all these photos, and by the way, as we've talked about, the photos are often fake and, or not fake, but staged. You know, you always look very happy on social media, but they're comparing themselves more than older generations to what they see on social media. And it's making them feel sad and or unhappy or that they don't have enough. And then they're spending money to try to fix that problem.
Goodness. So anybody say that this is some sort of phase and they will mature out of this or things will change, or are they locked into this kind of life of social media misery?
One would hope that it's going to change. And we did see people spending a little bit less time on Facebook, I think, earlier this week. So there's some data that suggests that maybe we will spend less time on social media. However, most does not suggest that. Most studies show that year after year after year, we spend more and more and more time on social media. It might change what we do. We might go on Instagram more than we go on Facebook and Snapchat more than Twitter, but we're still spending more time on social media. And yeah, I mean, there's a lot of research to show that it's, you know, it spurs spending. And the other things it can do is for people who spend too much time on it, higher risk of depression, anxiety, you know, feeling socially isolated. Those are all things that, you know, very robust studies show can happen if you spend too much time on social media.
Wow. We're speaking with Katie Hill, editor at Moneyish.com. She's written a piece entitled "The Dark Reason So Many Millennials Are Miserable and Broke." It's funny, just reading that story makes me think I got to keep an eye on my own daughter who's 13. But the other day, a friend had been to the Cayman Islands, you know, which you can't find a bad picture of, like the ocean or mountains in the Cayman Islands.
Right.
And she said, "We got to go there." I said, "You don't even know where it is." But it just didn't matter. She was influenced by the photos.
So.
Yeah. Oh, that, I mean, that's exactly what's happening. I've written about people pick their travel destinations based on what they're seeing their friends or people they know post on social media. That's a real phenomenon. And you know what? Because it's kind of like seeing an article about it or something.
I guess,
it triggers
yeah.
you. That looks real nice there, you know, and then you want to go.
Thanks, Katie. Katie Hill, editor at moneyish.com. It is 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Support for This Morning with Gordon Deal comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Chances are you're confident when it comes to your work, your hobbies, and your life. Rocket Mortgage gives you that same level of confidence when it comes to buying a home or refinancing your existing home loan. With Rocket Mortgage, you can apply simply and understand fully so you can mortgage confidently. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/Gordon. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS consumeraccess.org number 3030. You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state. Unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices help them become a leader in industries that range from agriculture and cybersecurity to aerospace and defense. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities, which makes Michigan more than business-friendly. It makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Hey, thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday, February 9. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Congress scrambles to reopen the government even as the Senate passed a budget. Another big sell-off on Wall Street takes the markets into correction territory. Opening ceremonies for the Winter Olympics today in South Korea. A winter storm descending on the Midwest. Watch for flight delays. Final chapter of the 50 Shades franchise hits theaters today. And the student who says Spirit Airlines encouraged her to flush her emotional support hamster down the toilet. That story in about 20 minutes. The Dow Jones Industrial Average has entered into correction territory after falling more than 1,000 points yesterday as worries about rising interest rates again rattled markets. A shaky day in the bond market appeared to spook equity investors as the Dow Industrials fell over 4%. Chief Market Strategist Art Hogan of investment bank B. Riley FBR.
As yields go up, the price that people are willing to pay for stocks goes down. So in simple terms, the last 7 years we've been living in about a 2% yield on the U.S. 10-year that's working its way to 3%, and people are reassessing what stocks should be valued at.
Second time in 4 days yesterday that the Dow Industrials fell more than 1,000 points. Analysis now from Miles Udland, markets reporter at Yahoo Finance. Miles, what's going on?
People will see the headline drop on the Dow, 1,000 points. That's a 4% drop, which I think market experts would really like you to cite more often. But I think what's happening right now is that everyone is looking around for one explanation. And I think what we're seeing clearly this week is that there is not one reason why the stock market is dropping. If we look back at the beginning of last week, people were talking about higher interest rates, higher wages, more inflation as possibly being a sign that the Federal Reserve would have to raise rates more aggressively. This could be negative for stocks. But then we saw an interesting development sort of off the beaten path where a specific fund that was betting against market volatility essentially went belly up as market volatility spiked.
Yeah.
And what we've seen over the last couple days is that markets are trying to work out some sort of direction. And I think it's just traders, investors, no one really knows what to make of the market action right now, but we certainly know that the trend, at least in the intermediate term, appears to be down. And why it flipped so quickly, I think people are still looking for one answer why, and there simply is not a clean explanation.
And we're in correction territory at this point, right?
Officially, we are, yeah. So this is a favorite of market strategists. 10% from recent highs is technically a correction. Both the Dow and the S&P 500 tipped into that. It's been a little while since we've seen a 10% correction. Certainly did not see one in 2017. The last time we had this was back in 2015. So it's been a little while, and I think a lot of people forgot what it feels like when stocks go down, certainly when they go down this quickly.
All right, so you mentioned before that the Fed may have to more aggressively increase rate hikes, but they were expecting 3 rate hikes this year at least, right? So that had to be baked in. What difference does it make if they're sooner rather than later?
Right, exactly. So the Fed is looking for 3 rate hikes. Market pricing after last Friday's jobs report moved to 4 rate hikes. But I would agree that it's not really a completely fundamental overhaul of how the Fed sees the economy or of how the bond market sees the economy. We've seen interest rates rising essentially all year. And so as we've worked out, you know, what's really going on this week, you know, that explanation was always a little flimsy, that it was always, oh, the bond market is really spooking the stock market. I think there is certainly some of that based on what's happening right now. Some of that is impacting the stock market, but there's no reason that you're going to have 4% down days in the S&P 500 because the bond market, or rather because the Federal Reserve is going to raise interest rates more aggressively. I mean, certainly the Fed is going to pay attention to that at some point, and I don't think that they've sent any kind of signal that they plan to move, you know, so much more quickly. They're going to raise interest rates 6 times or something like that. I mean, we've had a number of Fed officials this week talking about how they're not concerned about the stock market action. So I think that's why, as the week has gone on, traders have looked at a lot of different elements, whether it's certain programs that are selling stocks, whether it's certain funds that are being forced to sell stocks because they were just kind of mispositioned for the regime that we've seen this week. And so, yeah, I think the market, you know, at some level cares about the Fed, but it's certainly not enough for the action that we've seen happening in just a couple days.
We speak with Miles Udland, markets reporter at Yahoo Finance, talking about another rough day for stocks on Thursday. How much of an impact might this agreement on Capitol Hill about a federal budget play into it, you know, adding to the deficits again?
Yeah, I think there's, you know, there's something to that. When you look at what's happening in the Treasury market, we're certainly going to have more issuance this year and going forward as a result of the tax plan, as a result of this potential budget deal, which, again, still remains a little bit uncertain. And don't forget, the Federal Reserve is going to cease reinvesting some of its portfolio, not all, but some. And I think the bond market as a whole is trying to figure out how it will deal with an increase in supply. Rates have been at record lows, not just for the Fed rates, but certainly, you know, corporate bonds have been trading at, you know, a very small premium to Treasuries. Usually there's a bit of a wider spread there. And so I think all of this has to play into an idea that's essentially, you know, become consensus right now on Wall Street, which is that we are in a different market. We're in a different regime. That means interest rates are going to be going higher. And whether stocks go higher from here or not, I think is going to be a result of how investors work out what they think the future might look like. But to your point about the budget deal, I think that's just another kind of noisy headline that maybe is impacting things a little bit, but much like, you know, the Federal Reserve saying something about interest rates or the market thinking they're going to do something will not push stocks down 4%, I don't think what we're talking about on Capitol Hill right now is something that's going to push the market down 4%. It's not a TARP-type situation where, of course, everyone remembers where that sent the markets tanking. It is certainly nothing like that.
Thanks, Miles. Miles Udland, markets reporter at Yahoo Finance. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Hey, reminder, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter with the username at This Morning Show. If you like a little cynicism and sarcasm with your cornflakes, you can follow me directly on Twitter at Gordon Deal. Thanks for being with us. Beyond the headlines now, This Morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, it hasn't taken long for Coach Doug Peterson to become arguably the most popular person in Philadelphia, leading the Eagles to their first Super Bowl win in only his second season at the helm. Add to that the gutsy Philly special call, and Peterson already wouldn't have to pay for a drink in the city for the rest of his life. In fact, fans aren't even waiting till they see Peterson in a bar. They're just tossing him beers in the streets. That's what happened during yesterday morning's Super Bowl parade, where a video caught a fan at the parade tossing a can of beer toward a delegation of Eagles players and coaches riding high atop of a bus. Then Peterson, who was a former NFL quarterback, showed the same kind of hands that his QB Nick Foles did during the Super Bowl by reaching up with one hand and snatching the can out of the air. The crowd went wild, Peterson flashed a big smile, and the coach further cemented his legendary status with Eagles fans forever.
That was awesome.
Who is having a better week than Doug Peterson? You should just freeze this moment in time, because it can't get any better than what he's doing right now.
The only thing that might have been better is if he had slammed the beer.
Well, yeah. We didn't see, because he rode off camera.
Right.
We don't know if he wound up drinking the beer or not.
Right.
But just catching it in the way that he did, in the sort of very eloquent way that he did, was enough to send Eagles fans going crazy.
Like, he speared it out of the air.
Yeah, he did.
Well,
yeah.
You know, essentially rescued it from traveling over the other side of the bus and perhaps hitting somebody.
Yeah, right.
He speared it out of the air.
He saved somebody's
right.
life, too,
<That's> right.
while he was at it.
Right. So, oh, my goodness.
Great
so,
week for Peterson.
The new mayor of Philadelphia. Philadelphia.
Yes. And hardened New Yorkers, Gordon, have become used to subway delays in recent years, so many may not have even batted an eyelid when they saw a sign on their way to work that indicated that their train would be delayed every day between January 1st and December 31st, days, nights, and weekends. The Metropolitan Transportation Authority in New York confirmed that the official-looking signs declaring all trains to be delayed are unauthorized fakes. The signs, which responded at multiple stations earlier this month, featured an image of a hitchhiking construction worker next to the text. The city has increased maintenance and repair of tracks and signals as part of an $836 million emergency action plan to address the subway issues, but that didn't stop one cranky graphic designer from designing and posting the signs, which he says speak for themselves.
That's funny.
That's pretty clever, funny. Yeah. Because they looked very, very real and very, very official.
These days, I mean, what, you can lift any logo from anywhere and throw it on something and make it look like your own.
And can you imagine a New Yorker looking at that sign and going, that sounds about right.
Whatever. Right.
It's what we expect.
By the way, I've gotten a lot of pressure from a woman on social media about the whole Friday Eve thing.
Oh, yes.
Well, she now is saying that she doesn't know about others, but she could use a good welcome to weekend Eve on Fridays.
That's all you.
Might be Eved out. 13 minutes in front of the hour. Glad you could be with us. Welcome into Friday. Many companies may not ban it, but workers still have plenty of reason to avoid an office romance like the plague. MarketWatch says 1 in 3 romantic office relationships will end in at least one person being fired, according to the hiring firm Challenger Gray & Christmas. Things aren't necessarily better for those who don't get fired. The survey found that 17% of employers chose to move at least one employee to a different department, and 5% of these affairs led to litigation. Nevertheless, 1 in 4 workers say they've engaged or are currently in a relationship with a colleague. Roughly 60% of employers had some sort of formal policy regarding romantic relationships in the office, while another 10% of companies say they inform employees that affairs were frowned upon in the absence of a written set of guidelines. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, an hour and a half into yet another government shutdown, the Senate approved a massive two-year budget agreement early this morning that would reopen the government and pave the way for more than $400 billion in increased defense and domestic spending, while the House has followed suit. In the Senate, one Republican lawmaker, Rand Paul of Kentucky, delayed the final vote until after midnight, upset over the growing deficit.
Maybe it has something to do with the irresponsibility of Congress spending money that we don't have.
The deal paves the way for Congress to increase defense spending by $165 billion and hike domestic spending by $131 billion over the next 2 years. Pressure is mounting on White House Chief of Staff John Kelly amid questions about his defense of a senior aide he fought to keep in a highly sensitive West Wing job despite accusations of spousal abuse from two ex-wives. White House Staff Secretary Rob Porter, arguably Kelly's closest aide, cleaned out his desk yesterday, but the aftershocks of his resignation continue. Republican Senator Lindsey Graham has questions about why Porter never had full security clearance.
The fact that this man operated a year without a security clearance, I didn't understand that and still don't.
Kelly is facing criticism for initially defending his aide, only to later shift course after the publication of photos showing one of Porter's ex-wives with a black eye. Russia's desperate attempt to get 45 banned athletes into the Pyeongchang Olympics failed just hours before today's opening ceremony. The International Olympic Committee has banned Russia because of a massive doping scheme, but gave individual athletes a chance to apply for admission to compete as Olympic athletes from Russia. 168 Russians did pass the vetting process. They came out in droves, and they weren't disappointed. Philadelphia held quite the party for its Super Bowl-winning Eagles yesterday. Some wore dog masks as a nod to the team's underdog status, while center Jason Kelce stole the show wearing a mummer's costume and said remarks that were classic Philly.
No one wanted us. No one liked this team. No analyst liked this team to win the Super Bowl, and nobody likes our fans.
Kelce gave a shout out to Mike Lombardi, a former general manager turned media analyst who rated Doug Peterson as the NFL's worst coach before the season.
Oh, man. Was that his dog voice? Is that what he was doing?
I think that was a little hoarse.
Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. On this morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. The college student reportedly instructed to flush her emotional support hamster down the toilet because it wasn't allowed on a flight, is emotionally distraught, but now has a replacement rodent. USA Today says when Belen Aldecocea showed up for her Spirit Airlines flight from Baltimore Washington International to South Florida, she did so with info that it was okay to travel with Pebbles, her hamster. But as she walked to security, a second employee told her no. A Spirit spokesman said the airline changed her 10 a.m. flight to later to give her time to make arrangements, but she told the Miami Herald she was hours from friends who could help, was not able to rent a car, and taking a bus would take days. A Spirit employee, she told the newspaper, suggested she let Pebbles go outside or flush her down the toilet. She thought it would be inhumane to let the animal freeze outside, and she decided to flush her in an airport toilet. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. As a business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.